Let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your Bibles. Say word. One more time. Let's say word. See your pens. Lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Let me pray for you as you turn to Matthew chapter 1. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness to us, and thank you for being good to us. And we pray that you would speak to us and encourage us tonight, and that you would convert hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a lion in I live in North County, and there's a lion walking around my neighborhood, a real lion. Have y'all heard this? There's a lion in Rancho Bernardo. And over the last month, there have been a couple of times where he was seen right where I go walking and running. And, you know, so they had to keep the kids in school. And so every day I go out there, I look for him or her. I don't know if it's a guy lion or a girl lion. And I always imagine what would happen if it jumped out at me, how I would fight it and kill it, you know, and just, you know, getting a newspaper, you know, just killing this lion. Or if I die, you know, I think it would be a cool way to die, is that a lion got you in San Diego. That's kind of odd, right? So yeah, I would count that as a God thing. So I would be honored that I would be getting the lion, got to get the lion, the guy the lion gets. But, you know, my wife, she's, you know, she's always like, be careful, you know, don't get eaten by the lion. And I'm walking around San Diego, there's a lion in San Diego. You know, sometimes in life you feel like there's going to be a lion that's going to come get you. You know, you're going to lose your job, someone's going to break up with you, or you're going to get some disease, or your life's just not going to work out, or your life's not working out. The good thing is that we have hope to conquer the lion, that's Jesus. And what Christmas is all about is that a Savior was born into the world, that we don't have to worry about the lion. Doesn't mean you're not going to die, doesn't mean stuff's not going to happen to you that you don't like, but in the end, if you have faith in Christ, you win. Can I get amen? And so we always want to remember what Christmas is all about. It's not about a tree. It's not about Santa Claus, you know, big white guy with a white beard. You know, they're in every mall. There's a whole bunch of them, right? My Santa Claus was a black Jamaican who lived in my house. But the reality is that Jesus Christ is our hope beyond any crisis that happens in our life. When I was start out in youth ministry, there was a young girl who was in high school, and she had missed Bible studies several times, and I asked her where she was. And she says, well, I have kind of a problem. And I said, well, you know, this is the time to come closer to God. She said, well, even God can't help me. So I knew she thought she was pregnant. So I said, are you having a baby? She says, well, I'm kind of pregnant. I said, girl, you know, you can't be kind of pregnant. Either you are or you're not. You know, I've heard people being very pregnant. I've heard people being really, really pregnant. Potentially pregnant, never kind of pregnant. Today we're going to talk about a woman who was what I call salvation pregnant. Everyone say salvation pregnant. Now, salvation pregnant means that Mary was pregnant with salvation, Jesus Christ. My wife doesn't like the title of this sermon. She thinks it should be pregnant with salvation. I said, no, I call it salvation pregnant. So how many of y'all like my wife's title better? Yeah, all the girls. Yeah, whatever. So it is salvation pregnant. That's when it's in the notes. That's what's going to be. I just say that so you remember it. Now you won't forget it. We all have an opportunity to be salvation pregnant. What that means is that we all have a new life opportunity in us. We all have a new life opportunity in us. Whether you have Christ in your life or not, you have an opportunity to have new life over and above what you have today. I don't know if you remember the story, The Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy was trying to get the broom from the witch. I don't know if it was the one from the east or the west. I can't remember which one died and which one was alive. Does anybody remember? The west, the east. The east was the one that died, the wicked witch from the east, and her sister was from the west. That lady? Okay. So Dorothy goes through all this drama and gets the broom, and then Glinda, the fairy She was a good witch? I thought she was a fairy, godmother. She comes down in the bubble. She needed some sense. She was real pale. She came down the bubble, and she says, Mary, Mary, Mary. And she says, I got the broom, whatever. And she says, but Mary, all you have to do is close your eyes and click your heels. You remember that? So she goes, what? What'd I say? Oh, yeah. This is Mary. Whatever, Mary, Dorothy, it don't matter what it is. The girl with the red shoes on, okay, you know what I'm saying? And she says, Dorothy, Dorothy, all you have to do is close your eyes and click your heels. Now, I'm thinking, you sent me through all that drama and told me to get that broom when all I had to do was do that, bam, bam, bam. Y'all remember that? I don't know why she wasn't mad. All of you in your heart have the ability to ask Jesus Christ to give you new life. You don't have to spend money. You don't have to do a bunch of good deeds to get it. You can't do enough good deeds to get it. It's all right here. You just have to believe. You are salvation pregnant. You have it in you. So let's read the story. Now, we've been going over this Christmas story for the last month. We saw a few weeks ago that Jesus was probably not born in a barn. He was probably born in a house that had a manger in it. If you remember, a few weeks ago, Jesus came to a house. Mary and Joseph came to a house. And the guest room in the house was full. The guest room was sometimes called the inn. And they let Jesus be born in the living room. So we saw that a few weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, we saw that the shepherds, the low life in the society, were called and invited to see Jesus. And that was the message, that the Savior was born in a way that was comfortable and welcomed everybody, even the shepherds who were the lowest in the social ladder. And then last week, we saw Herod, the king, who wanted to kill Jesus. As soon as Christ was born, he heard that a king of the Jews was born. He went to kill him. And we asked the question, why would God have Jesus be born in an environment that was dangerous for him? And we saw that nothing can stop the gospel. We saw that Herod, even though he threatened to kill Jesus, he never did. He died. And then when Pontius Pilate actually killed Jesus, Jesus said, you can kill me, but in 3 days I'm going to get up, because Pontius Pilate had pop-pop power and Jesus had ba-boom power. And so nothing can hold him back. And so today we're just going to look at Mary and Joseph and how their plight, and when they found out from Jesus that Jesus was going to be born, when they found out Mary was pregnant, what they went through to give birth to this salvation, and what we have to go through to have salvation be born in our hearts. Now, some of you have Christ in your life. God wants to give you a more abundant life than you have today. He wants more of your life. He wants more of your heart, more of your day, more of your thoughts. He doesn't want you to just come every now and then, read your Bible every now and then. He wants you 24/7. And guess what? He deserves to have you 24/7. He gave his life for you. And some of you have never asked Christ to be in your life. You never asked Christ to be your Savior. You have an opportunity, just like Dorothy, to say, I want it. And by faith, you will receive it. So let's read the story. Chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Everyone say afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn, and he called his name Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus. Number one in your notes. Number one, salvation, hope, sometimes comes in less than ideal circumstances. Sometimes the hope that salvation brings you, you will experience in circumstances that you don't like. I want you to think about this. Here's Mary. She's not married. She's probably a teenager, and she's pregnant, and she has to convince everybody that she's pregnant from God. Now, I want you to have two daughters. One is 26 and one is 24. I believe that's how old they are. And neither one of them is married. I want you to imagine how many of you would believe a young girl if she told you she was pregnant by God. Thank you. ain't no way. You're pregnant by God. That's right. So Mary had to not only convince her husband. Well, she didn't convince her husband. God told her husband, don't worry about it. It took God to convince her husband. But imagine everybody else in the community that didn't get that vision from God. Imagine the drama she had to live with, not only all through her pregnancy, but all through her life. And that God would put her in that circumstance. Why God did that? God's ways are above our ways. God will use and can use circumstances in your life that you don't like to get you to a point where you say, God, I want you in my life. One of the reasons he allows those things to happen, I'm not saying he causes them, but one of the reasons he allows those things to happen is because we are hard-headed. How many of y'all are hard-headed? Okay? God tells you to do something, you go, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow comes, I'll do it next week. And then disaster comes, you go, okay, God, I won't do that again. And knowing you will, and then you do it again. And you go through that for years. And God is mercifully trying to lead you to a place where you accept him. And so here's Mary going, and I'm sure, and again, this is just me talking, Mary and Joseph saying, God, why do we got to do it this way? Why has it got to be so difficult? Now, God's ways are not our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so his thoughts are above our thoughts. So it's not for us to judge God, it's for us to trust God and know that he always works it out. Because in every single one of your circumstances in your life, God got you through. And by the way, he got you through in spite of what you did. In other words, you were fighting him, doing your own thing, and at some point you might have surrendered, but he was always more faithful than you deserved. So salvation and this new life that you have in your, this new life opportunity that you have in you is going to come in circumstances that you might not like, and it may take those circumstances to get you to surrender. And some of you have been walking with God for a long time, and your relationship with God is like this, and God is frankly tired of the same old from you. He wants you to take your relationship with him to another level. He wants you to experience him at another level. So my encouragement to you is to allow God to do that in your life and say, Lord, I don't want to do the same thing in 2012 as I did in 2011. I want to have a better relationship. Number two in your notes. Salvation hope should not be feared. Should not be feared. Let me read this to you in verse 20. It says, while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, do not be afraid. Everyone say afraid. One of the places I love to go minister is in prison. And prison is a scary place. How many of y'all have never been in a prison? Very good. How many of y'all have, for whatever reason, maybe you were visiting, maybe you were incarcerated, maybe you worked there. How many of y'all been inside of a prison for any reason? Wow, a lot of y'all, very good. Scary place. And I was taking some NFL players in this prison. And actually, it was some San Diego Chargers, and one of them walking in, his eyes were like this big. He was like, you know, don't leave me. I said, brother, you're going to be fine because we got split up in the prison. Not accidentally, he was taken to another yard different from the yard I was in. And I said, Sammy, nothing's going to happen. It's going to be fine. It's going to be a great experience for you. And he's like, okay, when am I going to see you later? I said, I'll be over there in a minute, a few while. Sure enough, I've been in prison 100 times. It's never happened in my life. All of a sudden, I hear gunshots. Bam, bam, sirens, get on the ground. And this one guy, two guys were trying to stab and kill another guy. and they ran across. They threw tear gas, shot tear gas at them, and they were, and all the sirens going on. And if you don't get down, they shoot you. And I'm thinking, Sammy's probably freaking out. God will call you to trust Him, to either do things for Him, to surrender your life to Him, to surrender your time to Him, to surrender your resources to Him, and it will be scary. God, what does that mean? When I first accepted Christ in my life, I was worried that I was going to have to, I wouldn't be able to play football, because at the time, that was my idol. And you may think, well, if I give my life to Christ, what will happen? What will God make me into? Is He going to make me into a nerd? No, you already got that one figured out by yourself. Is He going to make me into a dork? Just look in the mirror. We don't need help with that stuff. We don't need help ruining our life. He is going to actually improve your life. But so many times we think following God is going to be a scary thing because it's an unknown. The Bible says that you can't please God except with faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means when you follow God, there's always going to be an unknown element. And that unknown is scary, especially for people who want to control their life and want to know everything. God says, no, you have to trust me. If you want to follow me, if you want my blessing, if you want me to forgive you of your sin, if you want to walk with me, you have to walk with me by faith. You have to trust that I'm going to lead you. And don't be scared. Fear, F-E-A-R. Everyone say F. Say E-A-R. False expectation appearing real. That's fear. Something that's not real appearing real. False expectation appearing real. God says, I don't want you to fear. I don't want you to have false expectation. I want you to have clear expectation. I'm going to love you. I'm going to cleanse you of your sin. I'm going to renew your mind. And I'm going to transform you into the person I created you to be. You don't have to be scared about that. The devil, like the lion, wants to ruin you. Jesus wants to save you. Number three, salvation hope is provided by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Everyone say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Say Espiritu. Say Espiritu. Santo. Say Espiritu Santo. Salvation hope is provided by Espiritu Santo, the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in verse. I love little kids. Verse 20. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is drawing you closer to Him? In the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Everyone say Father. Father. Say Son. Son. Say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are all God, and they have different roles. The Father has designed this plan of salvation. Jesus came down to execute the contract of the plan. He shed His blood. Then Jesus went to the Father and sends the Holy Spirit to come live in our hearts to change it and bring it to our life. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. I spent the night out in Borrego Springs out in the desert one night in a tent. A friend of mine who's like a mountain man kind of guy, he says, let's go out there and spend the night outside. And I was like, okay, we'll fast and we'll sleep out in the desert. And you know, I'm not a camper, so I was scared to death. So he left me. He dropped me off like at 1 o'clock. Or 11 o'clock in the morning, and he went somewhere, and he said, I'll pick you up in 24 hours. So I was out there all by myself in this little pup tent all night. And at night, you could hear the coyotes, like hundreds of them. Oh! And you can interpret what they were saying. There's a scared brother over there. Let's go get him. Oh! I'm telling you, I swore they were getting closer. And all I got my car. You know, I sleep in my car. I'm not going to let these guys get me. And all night, the tent was going, it was windy, and you could hear the wind. And you can hear it. You didn't know where it was coming from, and you didn't know where it was going. You just knew it was coming, and you knew when it got there. You know what the Bible says of the Holy Spirit? He's like the wind. You don't know where he comes from, and you don't know where he goes. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit cleanses our sin. The Holy Spirit renews our mind. The Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit's like fire in our bones. It gives us a passion to obey God. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit gives us power. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. The Holy Spirit guides and directs us. It speaks to us with a small, still voice. It prays on our behalf. When you pray to God and you go, God, I don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit is praying on your behalf. The Holy Spirit is completely involved and wants to be involved in your life. And so this salvation that you're pregnant with, this life opportunity, the Holy Spirit wants to work it all out in your life. He wants to heal relationships that are broken in your life. He wants to give you the sense and pour out God's love in your heart. Romans 5:5, he tells us that the Holy Spirit pours God's love into our hearts. He wants to be completely active in all your life, all day, every day. It's a relationship. Say relationship. Relationship. It's not a religion. It's a relationship, a very intimate relationship. And so this baby that Mary had, the Holy Spirit gave her this new life opportunity you and I have. The Holy Spirit is offering that to us. And number four, salvation hope is received only if we obey. When I was a kid, we used to go to church on Christmas Eve night. How many of y'all, midnight mass? How many of y'all went to midnight mass? Look at all these Catholic people. Midnight mass. It was the bomb. The thing I loved about midnight mass is that, I went to Catholic school for 8 years. We only went to church in the morning. But to be at church at night, you know, I was something cool about that. To see the priest at night. It was like, I didn't know they stayed up at night. He had the candles. But then you get home like about midnight and you want to go right to bed, because you didn't want, you know, Santa to see you, and you didn't get you weren't going to get your G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip if Santa saw you before you went to bed. But you can do all the religious things and go to this mass or this service or this, that, but it doesn't really matter if you're not obeying God on a daily basis. If you're not saying to the Lord, Lord, I have received you into my life, and this new life is birthed in me, and I am going to obey you every day. Because God is not accepting our religion or our habits. Some of y'all come every other week. It's a relationship. God wants to visit with you every single day. Maybe not in this room, wherever you are. And so Joseph had to decide, am I going to do what God tells me to do so this baby can be born and this baby Jesus can live and be the man that he was sent to be and die on a cross? Am I going to do my part? All Joseph had to do was obey. If you want this new life to be birthed in your life, if you want to experience all the blessings of walking with God, you have to obey. There's no two ways about it. My son, who's now 23, when he was a little kid, he was my wife's little baby. She's, oh, my little baby, my little baby. I'm like, you'll make him a punk. So I had to take him in the back, kind of jack him up a little bit. She's always hugging, kissing on him, blah, 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 whatever. So one day he lied. Well, one day we caught him in a lie. So I told him, you can't tell your mother you love her for 1 week. And I asked my wife to not to say she loved him and not to hug and kiss him for a week. Now, how many of y'all think that's cruel? Yeah, mind your business. It's my own family. I do what I know. I'm only messing with y'all. But here's why I told him. Here's why I told him that. I said, look, if you are going to say you love your mother, you can't lie to your mother and say you love your mother. So I want to give you a week to think about whether you're going to say you love her and not lie, or whether you're not going to say you love her and then you can lie. But you can't say you love her and lie, because to love is to obey. So you have a week. And so you would see him, you know, during the week, he'd be like, oh, I can't, you know, just like, whatever. I want you to think, are you going to love your mother and obey, or are you going to disobey your mother and not love your mother? Of course, he chose to love her mother, blah, 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 blah. So here's what God says to you. Either you love me and obey, and don't love me and don't obey, but don't say you love me and not obey me. So look what it says in same chapter, verse 23. Verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then look what it says. Joseph being aroused from his sleep, did, I'm going to put words in the Bible, exactly what the angel said. He obeyed as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife and did not know her until she brought forth a son named Jesus. Joseph did exactly what the angel said. So here's your opportunity. God is saying to you, I want to forgive you of your sin. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to birth new life in you, eternal life, abundant life. But you have to repent. You have to ask me to forgive you of your sin. You have to invite me in. If you don't, then we'll just stay apart. But I'm only going to come into your life via invitation, and if you invite me by faith, knowing that I'm going to forgive you. That's up to you. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and you have an opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sin, and I want to establish a relationship with you. And I want you to come live in my heart. Or you could say, no, God, I don't want you in my life. And then he will leave you alone. You don't want that, but you can have it. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you were born. We thank you so much that you came to earth to die, and that you lived 33 years, never sinned, died on the cross. Thank you that you allow them to crucify you and bury you. And thank you that you rose from the dead. If you realize that you are a sinner, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you believe that the penalty of sin is death. The Bible says so. We all die. But you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. He died on the cross and rose from the dead for your sin. And you would like to ask Jesus to be your Savior. By faith, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. It's a prayer of confession, a prayer of surrender. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. And I believe the penalty of my sin is death. But I believe Jesus loves me and died for my sin. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart and be my Savior. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And by standing, you are acknowledging that you are asking Christ to be your Savior. By standing, you are acknowledging that you are surrendering your life to a living God. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge Jesus in your life. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. Very good. Very good. God bless you. Very good. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. We see you. God bless you. Very good. Very good. Very good. Stay standing. Very good. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. Very good. Very good. We see you all over the room. God bless you. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. Now in a minute, we're going to ask all of you who are standing to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. And we're going to ask everybody else to stay right where they're at, but we want to cheer them. So right now, if you're standing up, just come up out of your seat and come on down to the altar. God bless you. God bless you, man. Stay right there. Good. Good. Stay right there. Good. Amen. You come forward. God bless you. God bless you. You guys can face me. Just face me. God bless you. Hello. How are you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hello. How are you? Are you with them? God bless you. 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 What's up, little girl? Amen. Can I shake your hand? So here's the deal. Nope. God bless you. God bless you. She's gone. Here's the deal. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, one key word, relationship. Everyone say relationship. You and God are one. And in that relationship, He's the boss. We do what He says. It's not a religion, it's a relationship, just like any other relationship. He gave us His book. His Holy Spirit lives in us. It's a relationship. And the more you develop that relationship, the more you understand His voice, the more you understand what He wants you to do, the more you do it, the more you're blessed. It's that simple. It's that simple. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for y'all, and then we're going to cheer for them until they get in that room. Here comes Speed Racer. Boom. And then we're going to cheer for them to get in the room, and then we're going to dismiss you. You've got snow out and a bunch of stuff up back there. Amen. Lord, thank you so much for these people. Thank you so much for them coming down and their faith. And we pray you bless them. And more importantly, Lord, we pray we can be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them a hand. They walk this way. Let's walk that way.